Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. I am your host, Matt Anderson, the Late Night Gamecock. And joining me, as always, now is Rob Williams of On3 Gamecock Central, Inside the Gamecocks, Four Quarter Friday, SEC Sunday Night, the hardest working man that I know in this space. Rob, man, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful Sunday. I'm pulling out of the worst sunburn that I've had in probably 5 years. So we're good and oiled up. Got a lot of aloe working today. If you guys were on Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show or the show somewhere in the crossover on Friday, we talked a little bit about my pool activity. This would have been just before you got on. And there was some thirst trap talk in there. There's a lot of different stuff being thrown around. JC was talking about dating profiles for me, all kind of stuff. So, got absolutely toasted, but we're making our way through it. And it's been, I'm not the only thing that's on fire, Matt, because it was a big weekend for the Gamecocks as well in recruiting. And we obviously have a new assistant on the basketball team, and that coaching search on the baseball field is heating up too. Not to steal your thunder of this cold open, but I know you have a lot to get to.
Hey man, we have so much to get to. Rob, if you need it, my wife and I, we will co-wingman, wingwoman for you anytime you want. Just let us know. But man, you can't get sunburned. That's sloppy. You gotta apply the sunscreen.
Yep. I'm a no sunscreen guy. A little since I moved, I don't have as much yard work to do this year. And typically I'm used to the yard work easing me in starting in March, and I've built up a little bit of a base.
Yeah.
Didn't have the base this year, Matt, and fell asleep listening to the new Drake albums on Friday, and
Oh,
woke up
Lord.
with quite the burn. But
Well,
we
man, we're
rolled the
happy you're here
punches.
tonight. We're happy you're healing up. Like as Rob mentioned, there's so much to get to tonight. Baseball obviously got swept by Vanderbilt. It's ugly, y'all. It's not fun. We get it. We got the SEC tournament coming up. I don't think that Rob and I are going to predict a crazy run for the Gamecocks to get into the NCAA tournament. Their season will likely end in the next couple of days. And then that just means we're looking for a new head baseball coach. Put that official tag on somebody. And we'll talk about that. Softball advanced to the regional final tonight against UCLA. We've talked a lot about this UCLA regional and the Gamecocks chances. And first pitch is 7:30, so we don't know anything more than y'all do right now. We'll be hanging out with you. This will probably be the only thing we mention about softball unless we get a score update. But Rob and I both hope that ourselves and all of you are watching softball until the wee hours of Monday morning, and we hope that the softball team finds a way to make it to super regional. Sam Decker hired, yeah, as Rob mentioned, Sam Decker hired, and we're going to get into that. I had an article on Gamecock Central Inside the Gamecocks on three, and it's pretty good one. I did some deep dive into what Sam Decker is going to be doing, and we'll talk a little about that here tonight. Football, Rob, held Cockypalooza. That's a new one on me. I don't know if I've heard of Cockypalooza, but the reviews were absolutely crazy that I've heard. As far as what they were able to do, meant they created a carnival style atmosphere, and it was highly tailored to each player that was there. And Rob, that's saying something because I think they had about 50, 60 kids when all was said and done on campus. And then lastly tonight, Rob and I are going to get to one of the topics we actually had up on deck last week. We'll introduce it later, but it's just storylines we're paying attention to as Gamecock football moves in to fall. Fall camp's going to be here before you know it, Rob. I mean, first day of summer is coming. Rob's already sunburnt.
That's it. You got to be ready.
So
You stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
there you go. So before we go much further, Rob, let's just go ahead and talk about some baseball stuff. Baseball regionals are going to begin soon. It's always, a week after softball regionals. So May 29th, regionals are going to be over June 1st. And then on June 21st or the 22nd, there will be a new national champion for this baseball season. Who knows? It could be a repeat. Who won last year, Rob? Was it LSU?
In baseball, yes.
So it won't be a repeat, most likely, but we'll have a new champion. But spoiler alert, the Gamecocks will not be playing in Omaha this year. So now we got to start looking at the next baseball coach, Rob, and the timing of it. Baseball transfer portal opens June 1st. It runs through June 30th. Gamecocks, in a transition year, are probably going to have to go to the portal. I don't know how heavy, but they're going to have to find some guys there. So, you know, Rob, when do you think a new coach needs to be in place?
I think that you have to do it as quickly as possible. You have to – here's the thing, and we can have this debate back and forth, and we've heard JB mention this. Speaking of Jamie Bradford, he just had an article release on the Big Spur that has an exclusive with Coach Monty Lee on what some issues are in the program and ways to solve those. Just kind of skimming over it there, Matt, one of the first things that sticks out is music to people's ears. Coach Lee says, mission is simple, draw a circle around the Carolinas and close the borders. That's going to be a part of this search. But I think the debate, to answer your question about timing, is do you go after a coach who is potentially tied up in the NCAA tournament and prolong your search there? Or are you gonna, or is this going to be a coach's search where you're going to get it done pretty much as soon as the season is over? Obviously, we've talked a little bit about some of the top candidates here. And you know that, you know, if this is a situation where, like, say, a Ramsey from Georgia Tech is becomes the guy, then you're going to have a situation where he could be coaching. And then how long does that draw out? We see this in basketball for sure. We've seen it in football, but I think football is a bad example because Lane Kiffin and LSU just reset the precedent there as he left his team in the middle of the playoff because of the way that the football calendar sets up. I've been on the record saying I think that's more of the calendar's fault than it is Lane Kiffin's fault and LSU's fault. But in this case, I would love to see them get it done as early as possible to get ahead of that portal, as you just mentioned. This is not going to be something where there's as much patience as there probably should be from the fan base and the powers that be. You know what I mean, Matt? Like, this is a program that needs to get back to greatness, a program that has a storied tradition, a program that is now in a new era of the sport where you can change things quickly in the transfer portal. So there's going to be an expectation, right, wrong, or indifferent, that things turn around relatively quickly because there's going to be an expectation to go get guys out of that portal. If you don't make a coaching hire quickly enough, you can get behind there pretty easily. And that would be, in terms of timing, I think the biggest thing for me is that you have somebody in place who can get out there and recruit. We saw this happen before when the change was made between Coach Kingston and Coach Maneri, and Monty Lee was out there as the interim kind of recruiting and trying to hold things together in the interim period. But I don't know that, although he probably does a better job of it in this area as anybody else could, I don't know how much you can sell to recruits, Matt, with an interim tag. So you're going to need to have the next guy in place and ready to roll.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because we just mentioned the timeline. Regional start May 29th. So on June 1st, some of your candidates might be eliminated from the NCAA tournament, right? Does that change things if a coach had a one seed in a regional and lost to a team they probably shouldn't have lost to? How much does that matter in a double elimination style weekend? I would argue it doesn't matter very much. But you talked about the calendar, Rob, and the Major League Baseball draft is July 11th through the 13th. So why is the portal June 1st through June 30th? I mean, if players are going to go to the MLB draft, it's still the same situation it's always been. Are they going to get drafted? Well, they have to be either junior college or 3 years removed from high school. You have those weird instances where someone can be a sophomore and get drafted. But you're really putting baseball coaches under the gun already when they don't have the budget that a lot of other programs do. And then all of a sudden your season ends June 1st. And guess what? The transfer portal opens June 1st. And if you're a team like South Carolina that isn't in the postseason, then you feel the need to get a coach. Kind of what you mentioned with Lane Kiffin. You're going to find that, you know, you're going to see players transferring, but you know, the hope is that they'll have somebody in place. I would think after the Super Regionals, even if it's not announced, Rob, it might be a coach in place waiting for a season to end type thing.
Yep.
But even, man, if you get all the way to June 22nd, Rob, what players are still in the portal?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think the other piece of that, Matt, is you, even if you have a head coach in place, you still have to build out a staff. And that's been a big piece of the conversation here. I'll give you another quote from this article that Jamie Bradford has right now on the Big Spur at On Three Gamecock Central with head coach Monty Lee detailing some stuff that's going on. He's talking about the staff. He says that will be fixed immediately. And Jamie says we've done our own cross-checking with context to flesh out a coaching staff if the Gamecocks were able to pull the interim tag. Needless to say, just by looking at those couple of lines there, Coach Lee already has an idea of who the staff would be, and those calls have already been made. So if he was given the job, he already knows who he's assembling to put on the staff. I think whether it's Monty Lee or it's Kevin Schnall or it's whoever, whether you're bringing your staff from another school or you're assembling a new staff, you got to be ready to put those guys in play too, or at least have them sign in the background if they're still coaching in the postseason for whatever school they're at right now, because those are going to be important pieces in terms of recruiting coordinators and developers of talent that are going to have relationships with players as well.
I think at the end of the day, Rob, you know, if it's Monty, if it's not Monty, it doesn't truly matter. Now, what I will say, no, I shouldn't say that. It matters. But I guess I know that if it is Monty, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be pushback because he coached at Clemson. There's going to be pushback for this, that, or the other. But at the end of the day, I think that it's helping any prospective coach to look at what Jamie Bradford just wrote up after talking to Monty Lee, who's been around the Carolinas since he was born, practically. College of Charleston, Clemson, South Carolina as an assistant earlier in his career, hitting coach for the LA Dodgers. It's one of those things where if a coach wants to see what South Carolina needs, this article is the best thing that's ever happened for the program. And I guarantee you, Jeremiah Donati, maybe he hasn't read it quite yet. It's only been posted for about 10 minutes. But this is kind of groundbreaking stuff. You really don't see a coach just flat out saying, here's what I would do. Here's why I would do it. Here's what's wrong with the program. And I think once you read this article, and it's free, so go to Inside the Gamecocks, go to Gamecock or Gamecock Central, go to thebigspur.com and read it. You don't have to have any kind of membership to read this. It's that important that we wanted to get out there for the masses. So,
no doubt.
Whether it's Monty or somebody else, man, timing is of the essence.
And it's not a puff piece either. I'll say this too. It's meaty in terms of the information that's there from kind of a philosophical standpoint to a very technical standpoint in terms of what types of guys need to be brought in and some of the specific and direct changes that need to be made in terms of style, but also in terms of personnel, all the way down to what's going on with alums and so on and so forth. There's a lot in there, and we're teasing it here, and I've said a lot, and we're still not giving you the full scoop. Go read it. Like Matt said, it's free. And it provides so much discussion around the point of, to your point, Matt, whether it's Monty Lee or someone else, here are the issues. If anybody knows what they are, it's probably the guy that's in the building right now. And he's in the build. He has a very unique position because he's in there, but he didn't create these things. He had a front row seat to seeing where this kind of derailed a little bit. So yeah, I think that it's
definitely worth the read. Your opinion of Monty Lee or not. So let's switch topics here. Softball, like we said, first pitch here in about 16 minutes. I hope everyone's able to watch that tonight. I know Rob and I, Rob will have his third screen glued.
I've got it.
To softball.
It's on behind here.
But basketball, Rob, Sam Decker. So I haven't spoken to you about this hire yet. Off the cuff, I know that I posted an article. I'm sure you've read it, but just want to get your thoughts when you heard the news.
I think the biggest thing that sticks out for me is his ability to find his voice as a new coach. I think off the cuff, the name recognition is a good pull not just for us as basketball fans or as somebody who's covering it or analyzing it or whatever, but from a recruiting standpoint, I think having Sam Dekker around is helpful. Now, I think that his professional experience translates well, but I talk to a lot of guys at multiple levels across multiple sports, as you do, Matt, that are in coaching circles, and some former professionals or high-level college athletes do really, really well in the coaching space because they have this connectivity and the ability to communicate well with players. Some of them can say all the right things, and in a conversation with me, they can point out the technicalities of what's going wrong, but they have trouble in communicating that with the player. Because Sam Dekker is a new coach, we don't know that. And I don't even know that he knows that, or even that Lamont Paris can know that, but somebody, he has to have an inclination of his ability to be relational and communicate. I think it'll be interesting for us to kind of, if I'm just looking at it, I'm zooming out and looking big picture. Is this the start of something big in terms of Sam Dekker's coaching career? It will be really cool if he becomes one of these guys who kind of takes off as a young up-and-comer in the coaching circles, and it gets started right here under Lamont Paris at South Carolina. But I think we'll be able to see growth in him given that this staff sticks around for more than this upcoming season. Because you're going to have your growing pains, your ups and downs coming in and doing it at this level for the first time. You know what I mean? Like trying to flip the switch over from being a professional player to now say telling someone else how to do it instead of receiving coaching and doing it yourself and getting out there and playing. It's a little bit of a difference. And we talked about this on Four Quarter Friday, or maybe it was Inside the Gamecocks a week or so ago, that even the greatest coaches, Smitty said it, even the greatest coaches that we've talked to will always say they want to be remembered for who they were as a player if they had that opportunity. And then when they lay down at night, they dream of the times when they were actually playing the game, not when they were coaching it, even if their coaching career eclipses their career as a player. So I think it's just going to be really fun to watch him turn the page. I think he brings a lot of youthful exuberance and energy. He brings a freshness of just getting out of the professional ranks. And so it'll be really cool to see that. I think he has all the knowledge. There's no way that he doesn't. He's so fresh out of it. He has the knowledge to coach these guys up. Can he communicate well enough and connect with them to actually make that happen? And how does that translate into recruiting will be an interesting piece for me too.
That's going to be one of the more interesting things, because I found out about the Sam Dekker news. I immediately started calling former college basketball players. I wanted to know, in their opinion, what a player development coach does. I wanted to know what was the benefit, what was the drawback, all of that. And in the article, I referenced BJ Mackey. And look, BJ is not the only player development coach that I talked to players from, but I knew BJ Mackey would resonate with Gamecock fans. So let me tell you what BJ did, right? So BJ ended up at Charleston Southern for Barkley Radebaugh, who was an assistant coach for Eddie Fogler. When BJ got there, it was not the Eddie Fogler offense. It wasn't what he was coached to play in college. It was essentially the Bob Ritchie offense, because Bob Ritchie was associate head coach at Charleston Southern at the time before he went on to Furman with Nico Medved, and then now he's obviously the head coach of Furman. So BJ had to adapt to that. And BJ had just come from professional basketball. And anybody that knows BJ knows that, man, he sees the game. He can play the game. So that summer specifically for their players is one of the reasons that they probably went to the NIT and won the conference championship. Because when I say he was busting people's butts in practice, it was embarrassing. Like, if BJ didn't win 11-0, like, he was making you play again. He was that kind of competitor. So I know that Sam Dekker's coming off an injury, but Sam Dekker's going to be in the gym this summer. He's going to be working with these guys. But the real benefit, and why I say that, you know, when BJ went to Charleston Southern, it wasn't the Eddie Fogler offense. It wasn't the offense he ran in college. Well, Lamont Paris still runs the same offense that Sam Dekker played in college, the same defense. And what people forget is all the drill work that happens. So Sam Dekker is going to know what Lamont Paris wants. And he's going to go remember a certain drill that he did that transcended what the head coach was saying in Greg Gard for Sam Decker. It wasn't Bo Ryan. It was Greg Gard. And he's going to say, look, when I knew the coach wanted me to do this, I practiced X. And I practiced X for 30 minutes until I figured it out. And then that opened something up. He's going to know exactly where Lamont Paris wants the players to be on the court, how to facilitate the offense. If they're working on something as simple as a blur screen, he's going to be in there, and you're going to be setting the blur screen on Sam Decker this summer. Yeah. And Sam Decker is going to know exactly what you're going to try and do. And then when you adjust, he's going to adjust. You're still not going to be able to get the pass off. And you're not going to – it's going to be that level of sophistication. And so when he's watching the players, he's a player development coach should do that. Now, the other thing is he brings credibility, Rob. Five-star prospect, lottery pick, played in the NBA, played professionally overseas for the past decade. There's nothing he hasn't seen. And sometimes, Rob, you know, you mentioned it with head coaches, they played the game, but they haven't played the game since it changed. They have an offense they've run for 8 to 10 years, and they can't figure out why this isn't working. Well, Sam Decker is going to come in and say he's going to be that bridge between player and coach. So I know that, you know, if we talk about BJ again, BJ had way more responsibility than just what Sam Decker is going to be doing. But as a first-year assistant coach, and you bring a recruit on campus, or you have a player that has professional aspirations, they are going to listen to Sam Decker. And sometimes you need that. And with so many fresh players that are being brought in this year, I mean, Rob, they're bringing back three, two scholarship players and Eli Sparkman, who started as a walk-on but has earned a scholarship. But let's be honest, none of these three guys played very much towards the end of the year last year. And if they did, it was just spot minutes. They are going, and this is one of the issues I've had with Lamont Paris and the transfer portal for a number of years. It is you're bringing in players to run a system that you know inside and out, that they've played in four systems in the last 4 years, or two systems in the last 2 years, or they're freshmen. Now you have a Sam Decker to say, this is exactly what he wants you to do. And if you don't do it, you're not going to play. Let me show you how to do this. So they're still going to hire another assistant coach. Sam Decker isn't the final assistant. I like the move. I think that it has potential. And I go back to, you know, we talk about BJ Mackey, but we can also talk about John Shire. John Shire played at Duke.
Yeah.
He went overseas. He probably would still be playing overseas if he didn't have a freak eye injury that required him to basically give up basketball. What's he do? He goes to Duke. Now it's Duke. I understand that. But he goes to Duke and he becomes Coach K's head assistant coach because he knows exactly what Coach K wants to do.
Another example of a guy busting people in practice.
Yes.
There's plenty of documented video footage of John Shire giving it to those guys on the court because he still had the ability to, and like you said, could still have a professional career if not for the freak eye injury. I think your point about Sam Decker there at the end is one that's really intriguing to me, and that is, how does he improve Lamont Paris as a coach overall because he understands the system? What does this add to Lamont Paris where we may have had negative analysis or criticisms of him in the past couple of years? This is kind of one of those things where we could see a change in Lamont Paris and it'll get credited to him, but it very well may be the understanding and assistance of Sam Decker behind the scenes, because there is continuity, because there is an understanding, because he's done exactly what these guys are trying to do, except for he didn't have to come in and have two or three systems in the back of his head as a college student, but he has bounced around in the professional ranks and understood how to play in different systems there and flush and move to the next one and try to fit into a new role on a new team with a new set of teammates, new chemistry. That's the world of basketball. And it starts at the AAU level. It starts now with the high school portal and the college portal and the professional level. So I've always said for my entire life, playing, watching, coaching, whatever in basketball, that basketball is a game of adjustments. Ball's going to bounce a little bit different in this gym versus that one. There's going to be this dead spot in that floor. this rim's going to be tighter, or this one's going to, this floor is going to have a little more bounce to it. And so you're going to be able to do a little something extra. Everything you have to adjust, the lighting's going to be different, the depth perception, how do I adjust my shot, all of those things. And now we've added that you have to adjust completely to your coaching staff, your teammates, every single year in this game. It will be a challenge, not just for South Carolina, but for everybody to continue to see who can make those adjustments quickly and build on them in a one-year time span. I do think that Sam Dekker brings something that is so valuable, and that is that consistency and continuity with the system that Lamont Paris runs. And your point there is phenomenal. I think he adds to the overall coach that Lamont Paris is, without Lamont Paris even having to do anything by just putting him on the staff.
Well, let's not forget as well, and this is a very important note, Tanner Brunson, while he wasn't a decorated college player in the same way that Sam Dekker is, where did Tanner Brunson go to college? Wisconsin. And look, you know, I made a joke that it's the South Carolina Badgercocks or Game Badgers.
Yeah.
But South Carolina and the SEC is going to have to be unique in the way they win games. And I would say that Wisconsin is probably one of the more unique places that has had continued success. So now all of a sudden, you know, despite Lamont Paris bringing a lot of his assistant coaches from Chattanooga with him, now he has what I consider to be that link, that bridge, that guy that did it at every single step. And look, I don't think it's going to be Frank Kaminsky who's going to be the final head coach, but hey, look,
If it was, it would make sense given the track record that we see here.
Well, it would, but I also think people forget that, you know, Lamont Paris recruited and mentored Sam Dekker at Wisconsin. Like,
yep.
He was kind of credited with being the guy that brought him and Frank Kaminsky in. And I think that, you know, this was in my article as well, but in Lamont Paris's opening press conference as the head coach of South Carolina, he mentioned Sam Dekker and Frank Kaminsky. And look, between Colin Murray-Boyles, Sam Dekker, and Frank Kaminsky, people forget Lamont Paris now has 3 lottery picks that he has coached. And I was talking to someone the other night. They brought up a great point. The only time Lamont Paris has had at least 3 SEC quality players on his roster, all he did was set a program record for wins and make the NCAA tournament. So to Rob's point, you know, this might be a 2-year thing. It might not be Lamont Paris is on the hot seat as much as we think. I do think it would behoove him to make the NCAA tournament because, you know, if candies and nuts and that whole saying, but he's going to have to figure it out. And I think that Sam Dekker is an excellent start to that. I guess we probably should take a sponsor break here, Rob. We need to pay some bills. So let's do that. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot of football. So get ready.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck / trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now. FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at pomcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson. As you can see under my name, the Late Night Gamecock Show, every Sunday night at 7. And who wouldn't want to spend your Sunday night with Rob Williams and myself? So we appreciate all of you for being here tonight. And Rob, man, we had a heck of an event that South Carolina put on today. Talk to the people about Cocky Palooza.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great opportunity to get guys on campus, and it creates an opportunity to kind of hit some of these upcoming prospects, Matt, that we're not as focused on right now. Everybody is gung-ho on 2027, but a lot of younger guys that were able to get in here for a look at the campus. Like you mentioned earlier, 50, 60 guys on campus, which is a ton. You know, there are going to be names that I'll get to in a second that were kind of bigger focal points, I think. And the staff does a really good job of prioritizing some of these guys. But yeah, I mean, you're getting ahead on some in-state prospects. There's been a lot made about the lack of in-state, kind of what's going on in 2027, kind of getting ahead on some 2028 kids. I have been out on the road a ton for Four Quarter Friday for the spring tour here in May and been able to see a lot of these programs. And, Matt, one thing that I'll say is that high school coaches around the state, when we talk about 2027s, they have their guys, you know, your blue chippers, your top level guys, your D1 guys. I already know about them. We're going to talk about them a little bit. I always try to figure out who's under recruited, who may be going to some in-state schools like a Newberry or Charleston Southern or North Greenville, something like that. But then as we make our way through and we get to 28s, you know, there may be a couple more diamonds in the rough. When I say 29s and 30s, there's a light that like glimmers in their eye. There's a little twinkle in there as they look down the road at some of these guys that are really coming on. And so for the football fan, the Gamecock football fan, or the recruiting fan in general, to start looking beyond 2027 a little bit, I think is something that's cool here, is that you can start seeing a little bit of what's upcoming. But I think the biggest name that we want to talk about is probably Seth Tillman coming out of the weekend, Matt. And I think things moving in a good direction for the Gamecocks. I was able to see him and talk to him a couple of times this week at some showcase events. And we know that Travion Robertson was at South Point for their showcase earlier this week. I was able to speak with Tillman and with Travion while we're out there. Melvin Ingram was there and several other Gamecocks or former Gamecocks, current Gamecocks were out at the campus that day. So it was a good day to get out and talk to everybody. But you can see the work that Travion Robertson is putting in and pushing for the in-state talent in Seth Tillman.
Yeah, I actually texted Rob on the side this week, and I was like, man, it sounds like this Seth Tillman worm might be turning a little bit because, you know, point blank, for everyone watching this, I had penciled him into Clemson or Georgia a long time ago, Rob.
Yeah,
me too. And I can't say that the Gamecocks lead right now, but the Gamecocks have – wiggled their way into this conversation so much more than I thought they would be able to in just, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I think this is just another, let's call it kudos for Travion Robertson. When Travion gets in front of kids, guys, I'm just telling you, he has, it's like a quiet magnetism, if that makes sense, Rob. It's parents who see him and say, I want my kid to be coached by him. It's players that talk to him and say, wow, you were, you know, one of the best players for South Carolina. You played in the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons for a number of years. You transitioned from defensive end to defensive tackle. And remember, when we talk about high schoolers, there's not a lot of true DTs out there. There's a lot of guys that they might play DT for their high school, but they're probably going to be an end or even a linebacker when they get to college. So having a Travion there helps. I will just say, like, keep an eye on Seth Tillman. Nothing is for sure right now, but this is when I start hearing the things that I'm hearing behind the scenes and I start following the visits and an official visit 2 weeks ago, coaches spending time with him in practice, going to showcase events and talking about the Gamecocks, now going to an official or an unofficial visit for Cockypalooza and being around the coaches. Trust me when I say Seth Tillman was a major priority today. And
yeah,
would not be surprised if he wasn't flanked by Clayton for a little bit, Travian for a little bit, every single analyst, every single, assistant coach that could be there. He probably got a lot of attention. And then, you look at some other guys, four-star defensive back, Kelvin Millington. He is somebody that the Gamecocks are also making up ground kind of quickly. He just scheduled an official visit for the Gamecocks for later in June. He's another four-star kid.
Yeah, I love this kid.
And look, Rob, football recruiting moves fast. And there were just two high three-star, four-star defensive backs that were on Carolina's campus. And if you've been watching this long enough, you can kind of see the tea leaves like as they're forming. You can read the tarot card. And this is one where it's kind of like Seth Tillman. It's not done for South Carolina, but man, are the Gamecocks feeling a heck of a lot better than they were just a couple weeks ago.
No, and the Millington kid out of North Oconee is a big defensive back. One side has him listed at 6'4". And, this is the type of if you look at the photo of him next to Shane Beamer and Torian Gray, he's got the frame, and that's a telltale sign. You can look at the tape and it's there. But just off of eye test, this is the type of kid that Torian Gray is going to go after. It makes perfect sense that you can see that he was a priority as well, and that they really spent some time around him. Also 2028 offensive lineman Ty Wynn, a tackle out of Pennsylvania, got an offer this weekend. Number one offensive lineman in the state of Pennsylvania. So not only do you have some movement on some guys that they're trying to get in on, but then you have some guys that are getting these first time offers, and you're seeing them kind of start to set the hook a little bit in some of these younger players. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting to have an event like this with so many recruits, but then to circle all the way back to your original point, a lot of the quotes that we have coming out of the weekend sound really personal. They sound really intentional. So you can begin to see who the guys were that were getting targeted. Because it's tough, Matt, to cover 50 or 60 young men in one weekend and to spend quality time with them. But when you have some quotes coming out that there was extra time spent with certain guys, to your point, you can read the tea leaves a little bit.
Yeah. And I always talk about this too. There were, two four-stars from the 27 class that were there. There were a handful of three-stars. You had Jackson Vaughn, Josiah Fields, Monroe Fisher, and James Ross. Those are all three-stars. And guys and gals, I always say this, like three-stars it doesn't mean anything. Like everybody wants to star watch, but then you had some unranked guys like offensive tackle Jonathan Toney, running back Franklin Richardson, who we have talked about Franklin Richardson a lot. And one of the reasons that he's unranked is he plays quarterback and they don't know how to rank him yet. When you see an unranked player attend a priority event like this, and you see a three-star attend a priority event like this, throw rankings out the window. They're there for a reason, Rob.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think that this, first of all, if we're still star watching, I think that I don't want to insult anybody who's a fan or who's listening, but let me just frame this as advice, right? Because we want everybody here to be as educated as possible. If you're star watching, then that's the lazy way to follow recruiting. If we look at the track record of the staff at South Carolina, they can identify talent. That has not been the issue across the board, especially certain staff members. Torian Gray kind of stands out as one. But it's not been a thing where they're not identifying guys who have what it takes to come in and get it done, regardless of where they're ranked. We can look across that defensive side of the ball at what some of these guys have done. Shoot, look at Lenore Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you beat Syracuse on him. If we you beat Syracuse on a kid like Javion Robinson earlier this week, and it's easy to kind of look past him because he's the list was Syracuse and Rutgers, and I forget who the other team was, but there weren't any major SEC teams on the list. But that's an incredible athlete at the wide receiver position. I talked to his coach, and he talked about the length and the physicality and the overall skill set. He was on You Got Mossed a couple of years ago, going up and high-pointing the ball over two defenders. That I linked that on the Inside the Gamecocks board for anybody who wants to see it. But, yeah, man, I don't think that if we look at three stars or whatever, that's not a big deal. There's a tight end out of Powdersville, 2028 three-star Riggs Savage that was there this weekend that I think the Gamecocks are really getting going with as well. Nothing that we need to look down on, because I think that you're going to see kids come in this year as once again, I'm talking about the freshman class that's on campus.
Yeah.
Where you have a Jazavian Currents who's top in the state and there's no question about him as a recruit. And then you have another guy like Tristan Lewis who walks around hip to hip with Jazavian Currents on campus out of Greenwood, who played quarterback, and it's a tale as old as time. They're going to take a high school athletic quarterback and move him to DB. And I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be in that two deep.
I think so.
And that's not somebody that had a high star rating or that even really was playing that position primarily. So to your point, when you see that quarterback that they can move around, or that three-star guy that this is kind of labeled as an athlete, trust this staff. They've proven they can get that done.
Well, I'll also say that anybody that's watching this at 7 o'clock on a Sunday on May 17th, you're like us. You're a sicko. Like you're trying to stay in line with Gamecock football recruiting. And one of the things that you're going to know already, and if you've been watching this show long enough, you know I say this. Why are these events important? Yeah, you have the 27s there, but you had close to 20 2028s, and you had probably a handful of 2029s. And Rob Williams, tell the people why that's important.
Well, because you have to build. We have to build this room. You have to have depth, and you have to, year after year, be able to backfill. Because you don't want to have – we can look at the team now. This is you know, to your point, I don't know that people are looking ahead. And this can be a stumbling block right now when there's a narrative out there in the world that Shane Beamer is on the hot seat. I don't know that I buy that as much as the national media wants to push it, but I do hear it from recruits at times. It's definitely coming, chirping in from other staffs that Shane Beamer's on the hot seat. And if you don't, if you only look at this year, which could be a temptation because you do need to get it done this year, whether you're Lamont Paris or you're Shane Beamer. If you don't look beyond this year, then when this year is over, the cupboards are bare and there's nothing to backfill it with. And then you end up being a total portal program, and see Florida State for how that works out, right?
Yeah.
Occasionally it'll work and occasionally it won't, but there needs to be your balance of classes across each position group. You mentioned 2029s. I'll just give a shout out to Northwestern linebacker Dash Holly, who I've been kind of following for a bit, looking at recruiting inside of this state, who is here this weekend as well in Columbia, and a special athlete that I think will make a splash in the coming years. You mentioned 2029s. I had to throw it out there.
Yeah, man, always throw it out there. If you know of a guy, like, for sure, like you mentioned Riggs Savage earlier, like if there's a better tight end name in the country,
right,
at any level, I don't know what it is. I mean, Brock Bowers was pretty good for a tight end from Georgia and obviously went on to first round NFL draft pick and did some cool things his rookie year. Man, Rick Savage, you offer that kid on name only. But I will tell you this, with 28 and 29, you're laying the groundwork. We have Braden Tyson, who just committed to South Carolina. They've been recruiting him for 3 years. So what you're doing right now with these unofficial visits and these type of events is you're laying the groundwork. You're getting the relationships there. As Rob mentioned, that was very personal for every recruit that was on campus. And guess what they talked about today, Rob? hey, we got a Saturday against such and such team. We'd love to have you here. Hey, mom, dad, wouldn't you love to come to this game? We got passes for you. And that's when they come and you have a magical night like you had with Spencer Rattler against Tennessee. And that got so many five-star players to consider South Carolina and four-star players to consider South Carolina. So what they're doing now is they're laying that groundwork. They're laying the foundation. And going forward, what's going to happen is these players are going to feel comfortable and want to spend time in Columbia. They're going to want to make that trip on a Saturday, 7 o'clock kickoff, where they already know what Williams-Rice is going to look like because they've seen the videos. Now they want to see it in person. So I always remind folks that this is a big deal with these events.
And Matt, and I'll back that up by saying I had a top level recruit tell me in the last few weeks. I won't say who it is or where I think they're going or anything like that, but I did have one tell me school A was the first school to recruit me and school B took a while to get in here. And so that's why I'm leaning towards school A, because they got in on me early. To your point about laying groundwork in the on the recruiting trail, it matters. These kids care about who is there early. Braden Tyson said, loyalty matters to me. Consistency matters to me. South Carolina has been with me for a long time. So that stronger, longer theory works in recruiting, and you got to get on them early. If you don't identify and you come in a little too late, whether you're South Carolina or whoever else, we've seen South Carolina win some battles because other guys got in late. But, you know, when you're talking to high school coaches or college coaches, they'll tell you a lot of times, hey, sorry, this school just got in here too late, and we've already established inroads. And that relationship is built. And once it's built, Matt, sometimes it's hard to go back and tear that out if you're an opposing recruiter.
And on top of that, too, and we got to move on to the next one. But I will say that when you get a 28, a 29, or gosh, Rob, when I started doing this, we were talking about, golly, what was it, 24s and 23s and 22s, and they were still, in junior high. Yeah.
Yep.
But what I will say is you get to watch how they develop and they mature. Like when you see them on campus, like one of the things that they do is they go step on a scale. They go and get measured, and you can see how a player is growing and developing. And then when you're watching film, you can see how that might translate later. You know, Seth Tillman wasn't always 6'2½, 295 pounds. Now he might have been a big old boy, but if he plateaus at 265, they want to see you be a defensive end, not play defensive tackle necessarily.
Right.
Rob, the last thing we're going to do tonight, we're going to close this out, and I'm calling this storylines. And what I mean by that for everybody that's watching and listening is we heard so many storylines come out of spring ball. Some of them were awesome. Matt Fuller's running away from guys that run a 4.2. Matt Fuller looks like a beast. We also heard Dylan Stewart still not practicing. Dylan Stewart still recovering. So where we're going with this is good or bad storylines that if we're hearing this in the fall, it's going to change our opinion on the regular season and what our outlook is for South Carolina. So I'll start, Rob, and we can start with the bad and we'll end with the good. But like for me personally, and this is just me, I have no reason to believe that either of these two players are not going to suit up within the first week or two of the season and be playing football. But if Shane Beamer is still non-committal about Jacarius Peak and Dylan Stewart after fall camp, I'm going to be pretty daggum worried. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think, all the reports are now that they're doing really well, and we're expecting to see those guys and everything's going to be just fine. That it would be a change of course if that is the storyline. That would be a bad storyline to see Shane Beamer kind of tiptoe around it. I think that what we will see is him come out and be a little more poignant with his answers, because once he has that bullet in the chamber and is ready to be fired, I know he's going to be ready to fire it. So if we don't see him do it, because people have been poking around that issue too much, and if we know anything, we know that he keeps receipts. So he's going to be ready to put that one to bed as soon as he can put it to bed. So you're right. Yeah, if he's non-committal, That's a great word. It's a perfect word for it. We will be concerned.
So you can kind of understand where we're going with this, right? This is the thing that's going to perk our ears up. Our spidey senses are going to tingle. We might change the way we feel about South Carolina if we hear certain things. But on the same note, if I keep hearing good things, that drumbeat only gets louder and I get more confident in my thought process. So, you know, Rob, I'll do one more and then I'll let you, because I know I'm sure you have a couple as well.
Yeah.
But for me, and I mentioned this, I believe it was on Friday or Thursday or Friday, if we don't have a primary field goal kicker coming out of fall camp and it's still a competition, my spidey senses are tingling. I'm getting a little worried.
Man, I'm glad JC isn't here. It is much too early in the calendar year for his annual special teams freak out. So we're going to try to keep that storyline away from him. If that were to be the case, I don't know. I would be a little concerned. We have a couple of years here after just an unprecedented run, right? You think about the kickers that South Carolina has had from even the Lou Holtz era, moving on through Spurrier and Will Muschamp, and to begin Shane Beamer. Now we've had a little bit of inconsistency, which is uncharacteristic of Beamer ball and special teams guru Shane Beamer. So I again, not something that either of us, I think, expect, but if it is, that is the sign. If it's still a competition, that's a great way of putting it. You know, one that I see is if there's an offensive slowdown, and I'll explain it a little bit more. We do expect the defense to be ahead of the offense in the early going. If we get no reports of a catch up, and the ball isn't moving, then I'm going to start to get concerned. If we hear either Lenore Sellers, or we hear Kendall Briles or Shane Beamer talking about still trying to work some things out, or they're still trying to get some recognition and some consistency, then we're starting to see that the ball isn't moving. That'll be a concern for me. I think that offense is going to have to catch up, and given the tempo, and given the athletes and given the track record of Kendall Briles to prioritize those athletes, I want to see them talking about some chunk plays or some sustained kind of drives when they get into a little bit of that 11-on-11 work. The thing about the defense is we kind of know what we're getting. There's a couple of new pieces, but mm-hmm. as far as a system goes, as far as a scheme goes, it's in place. I'm distracted slightly because a double play from the outfield for the Gamecocks here in the top of the second, scoreless softball game.
Rob, on that point though, thanks for the update on the softball, because we definitely needed to get that. But the reason I wanted to bring up these storylines, everyone, is because last year I heard all these storylines. I talked to people that were at practice, and one of the things that I heard is the offense is looking pretty good and the offense has kind of figured it out. And then I found out that Dylan Stewart wasn't on the field, and that when Dylan Stewart was on the field, the offense couldn't move. And that's one guy that was stopping the entire offense. And in my head, I said, wow, Dylan Stewart must be really good because he's stopping an offense. And then I took a step back and I said, well, now I'm kind of worried because there are other Dylan Stewarts in the SEC. So right. That's where I'm going with these storylines. And the last one I'll get to before we go to the positive stuff, Rob, is if I'm hearing the offensive line hasn't found a starting unit, or the offensive line still has 10 guys in the mix for five spots, I'm going to get worried.
Yeah, I agree. This has been a storyline for too long.
Yeah.
For not just in camp, but through the season, how many times the year a few years ago with Spencer Rattler, I believe it was that 24?
Yeah.
With 11 injuries, Matt, and you continue to move guys in and out of that lineup, and then the inconsistencies that cause guys to get moved and shuffled around. So whatever the causes are, the results have been the same. It's been a new set of guys that if I hear we need them to gel, or they haven't gelled, or we can't get them to gel, or they're not at a place where they can gel.
We don't know who the left tackle is.
I'm tired of things being ungelled. Give me the Jell-O mix and let's get this thing to gel. Okay. It's not gelatin that thing up. We need it to gel.
I mean, quickly. Like, cause I heard Shed Surratt was going to start last year and I was like, wow. Like, and I knew that that's why Cam Pringle was probably going to transfer because he got beat out. And then come Virginia Tech game, Shed Surratt isn't playing. And so like, I'll be honest, Rob, I thought about taking Virginia Tech in that game betting. I was like, well, that's a bona fide offensive lineman that's not going to play. That might change some things. But obviously, South Carolina covered in that game. Rob, on the flip side, before we get you out of here, we'll do this quick because you got SEC Sunday night. Everyone needs to stick around for SEC Sunday night.
Chris Marler coming over to talk Bama football with us. So, you know, if you guys enjoy those shenanigans, he'll be there.
Yeah, well, you're going to have about 30,000 Bammers on your stream tonight. So what are some things, Rob, that if you hear are still the case? Or something that maybe you haven't heard, but you want to hear. What's that? What are some of those that are going to make you say, wow, I'm excited?
I'll go offense and defense. On offense, anything around points, Matt, anything around points, I think will be good. To your point about the kickers earlier, I want to hear that there's not just a guy, but that he's drilling it from 50 plus, that the field goals are going through. Okay. That we're having consistency there. And I want to hear some of these skill guys. It's hard to contain it when they touch paint. They want to talk about it. Okay, if they're making a play or they're scoring, you can get a question in there sometimes. When we get into any player availability, if somebody would ask a poignant question with Kendall Briles or Shane Beamer, anything revolving around points, it's been the big bugaboo for the offense the past couple of times that we've had an issue. Even when they've moved the ball, Matt, sometimes finishing has been a problem. So I think that's one on the offensive side of the ball. For me, anything around scoring would be fantastic. You can phrase it however you want to phrase it. On the defensive side of the ball, JC had a piece this week about freshmen playing. I don't think this is a case of freshman playing being a bad thing. So continuing to hear these names pop up, whether it's Noah Clark, Jazavian Currents, I mentioned kind of a sleeper in Tristan Lewis earlier. Aiden Harris is definitely getting into that. We know about what Julian Walker has been able to do. So some of these young defenders continuing to climb, I don't think it's because there's not defenders ahead of them that are falling off. I think that this freshman class just may have enough.
Well, I think in some cases like that, Rob, it's a freshman taking a starter's job. Like if Jazavian Currents comes in and takes Peyton Williams' job, he took it, and he took it for a reason. Just like Stephon Gilmore took it, and just like Jadeveon Clowney eventually took it.
Right.
All those things. I will give you one. I want to hear Nick Harbor's having success across the whole route tree. I don't want just these posts. I want to know he's doing things all over the field. And the last one, and we'll get out of here on this, and we'll talk about this all offseason. We'll revisit it. I want to hear Cutter Woods is poised to take over for Lenore Sellers in a year. I want to hear that, wow, man, when Cutter Woods comes in, the offense is still moving. And those are things that we'll hear behind the scenes. We'll share it with you guys as we hear it. But we'll hear those things, and that's what I want to hear. If Matt Fuller still looks like $1 million and has held off Christian Clark, I want to hear it. I want to know that he's still good. But, hey, Rob, before we get out of here, I know you got to go SEC Sunday night. But remember, we have an excellent article by Jamie Bradford where Monty Lee is saying exactly what he would do as head coach at South Carolina if he were to get that job. You can go over to thebigspur.com, pay $1, get access to the message boards, the community, the insight until fall practice starts, first game of the season. Do that. And, guys, again, whatever you do, make sure you have softball on one screen and Rob Williams with Chris Marlowe talking Alabama tonight on SEC Sunday night. Rob, before you get out of here, man, thanks for being here. We always love spending time with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be here. I'll mention you said that about Cutter Woods earlier as kind of one of your things. I was told by a contact during the spring that Cutter commented on the simplicity of the offense and the speed of the offense, which is something that we all understand. But from a guy in that position as the quarterback and potentially the guy who's really stepping in as that backup and quarterback of the future, for him to recognize these two points that, hey, we're doing things a lot more simplistically. It's easier to move around and it's a noticeable change in terms of we're going to pick it up and go. I think it, because that's the first thing coming out of his head, it sticks out to me as, yeah, we can grasp this a little more. Let's buckle up and just use the tools that we've got and get ready to go.
Still, it'd be pretty cool if he could teach Bear Woods that offense too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Continuing to monitor that one as well. I've spoken to Bear a little bit during spring practice. Westside was stop number one on the Four Quarter Friday tour. And so we're looking forward to their season. I'll keep you updated on what's going on over there as well.
Well, everybody, we appreciate you being here with us tonight. When you spend time with us, you give us the most valuable thing you have, your time. So we hope you have a great rest of the week. And I'm going to flip over right now to SEC Sunday night. For me, for Rob, we appreciate it. Have a great evening, everybody. See you.